This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Absolutely, that's where we are.
We are here, honest.
Yes, sir. 73 degrees, they say, huh?
73?
Yeah.
Really? It's 77 in your parking lot.
Well, that's the, as you say, the
pavement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
contributing factor.
So when you get the airport temp, it's 20 acres of asphalt over there. So it's
right.
Probably not real accurate.
No, and the jet engines, too.
Yeah, jet engines blowing their hot air on it, too.
What's new, Mike?
Oh, gosh, it's a beautiful day out there.
It's
like, you know, this is the kind of July I like right here. But this show is for landscape ideas and gardening ideas, and hopefully it's educational. Share some stuff that I've done over the years, mistakes and you know, successes. And if you have a question about anything in your garden, you may call 673-4464, 673-4464. And ask your question, and I'll give you an answer or two. And then maybe when that works, you call me back and say, hey, it worked, you're right. And I say, I know.
Yeah, I know.
No, I don't. I don't. It's hard to answer questions unless you're standing on the site, so you can actually see the soil, see where the sun is, see how steep or level it is. See, you know, there's a lot of other factors involved. So when people describe their situation, I have to try to imagine it and basically give them an answer that is kind of generalized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not real specific, because to be real specific, you got to be there. You got to see it.
Be there or be square.
That's right. Be there or be square landscape services. All right. Already the days are getting shorter. Did you know that?
I noticed that.
It's driving me nuts already.
I don't like it.
I don't either. And, you know, since we're past our summer solstice, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not much, but a minute a day, less sunlight makes me sad. And, you know, such is life, I guess. But that's what the sun does, so what can I say? I can't stop it.
When do we start building up again? It's January.
It's a long time from now. December 21st is the shortest day.
Oh, okay.
And then the 22nd. It's
starts
12 seconds longer, I think. Or
yeah,
something
it takes
like that.
So long.
Takes a long
up.
Time to get up there, man.
It does.
You know, but anyway, the days are going to be warmer, so it's time to sit under a nice shade tree. And if you don't have any shade trees, I'm going to talk to you about some shade trees today.
Okay.
Give you some examples of what you can have, and if you got like a brand new home and are thinking landscaping, think trees first, because they're your most expensive items, but they're the item that sets the tone for the whole landscape. And especially on the south side of your house or the west side of your house. The south side is where the sun is hitting all day, and the west side is where, you know, from say 2 o'clock to sundown, that's where it's the hottest. And any plants you put on that side of the house, you know, they got to be real tough, or you got to start some trees over there so you can start shading that. So
they get roasted.
Exactly. So when you're thinking landscaping, you got a brand new yard, nothing there but soil, think about trees and how many you could have and where you could put them and how you would space them. And if you don't know those answers, you know, all you got to do is call the show or come to Wintergreen Nursery and we'll tell you. But remember, the south and the west, those are the hottest parts. The east, you get some morning sun. North gets very little sun. So it's you got to know your cardinal directions to do these things. Now, not only will shade trees cool your yard in time, but it also adds value to your home in the event of selling your home possibly in the future. And it's if you'll go around some of the older neighborhoods in Roseburg and you see these nicer homes that maybe were built in the 60s or the 70s or even in the 80s, have a few trees out front, it's pleasing to look at. It looks good. It looks homey. It looks, you know, and then there's some homes that have nothing but grass and it's okay, but, you know, it's like there's something missing. And yeah. What's missing is the trees. It's some sort of tree. So, you know, you could have, depending on the size of your yard, of course, you know, you could have two or three of them out there in different sizes, different shapes, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, like there's many, many trees to choose from. So I'm going to I already put together a short list for you to consider. And of course, you internet folks that have all that stuff, you can look up this stuff and say, oh, there's a picture of it. That's what it looks like. And hey, he was right. He gave me the right information. Yeah. Oh. But first and foremost are the maple trees, and I'm talking shade now. I'm not talking decorative so much, even though some of these trees are decorative in their own right. They're not like a Japanese maple or a flowering plum or a flowering cherry or something like that. Mm-hmm. But these are the guys that are built for shade. They're going to grow big. And shade
it. Are they the ones that get the broad leaves?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And right. Yeah, exactly. Whereas the Japanese maple, they're a shorter tree, and some of them are, you know, 3 feet tall at maturity, and then some of them get 25 feet tall, but they have small leaves usually.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd offer a little bit of shade, but not for a total coolness on your yard and
right.
That kind of thing. And but first and foremost, like I said, are the maple trees, because they grow fast, they take little care once they're established, and in the fall, the leaves turn brilliant colors like oranges and reds and burgundies or combinations of those colors, just depending on the type of tree that you pick in the first place. And as you consider the type of tree, educate yourself as to how large it's going to grow. And, you know, do you have the space to accommodate it? Is it going to be a hassle in the long run? Is the growth of the tree going to overwhelm your roof? And one of these days, and not only leaves fall on your roof and then clog your gutters and downspouts, but you know, maybe a limb like Snowmageddon comes along and boom, you got a limb on your bedroom roof. So like I've been through that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what you speak.
I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced that. But again, this is going to be just a short list because there's many, many varieties out there to choose from. But native to Oregon, of course, is our own big leaf maple. And it's the one you see all over the county. It's on stream, along streams. It's in fields. It's on hills. It's a very big, big, large leaf. That's why it's called the big leaf maple. And so, you know, you can't beat the shade that it will provide. It is a beautiful shade tree. Here's some of the drawbacks. Mm. It can get 80 feet tall and almost as wide.
Oh, geez.
But it takes, you know, 75 to 100 years to get there. So it's not like, you know, 2 weeks from now, I'm like, gosh, I just planted that guy.
We won't be around.
Well, you never know. But, you know, like here in Douglas County, there's millions of them. They're growing naturally along streams, like I said, on hillsides. And you know, and as far as fall color, the leaves turn a bright yellow in the fall. I mean, they're a bright canary yellow. They're really pretty in that respect. But there's so many of them, you know, it's like you get numb in your head. Yeah, there's those yellow leaved trees again, you know. But they're tough, like I say, and there's little or no care. And if you need a large a tree for a large yard, a big leaf maple's a good one. But you can't do it in a... we'll say a Hewcrest size lot or a subdivision where maybe your lot is 70 by 70 or 80 by 90 or something like that. It would be, if you put it too far away from the house, you're going not to get the effect you want, and you're going to encumber your neighbor because it's going to grow both ways. It just don't grow your way. It grows.
Yeah, it don't care.
It grows all the way around, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... It's a great tree. If you got a big yard or a ranch, farm, whatever, they're good. Mm. Now, when I was looking at the list of maples, mm-hmm. I counted 51 varieties of maples to choose from that'll work here in Douglas County, and that doesn't count the 3,000 varieties of Japanese maples that will work here. So, but smaller growing types. Include, but are not limited to, the red maples, silver maple, sugar maple, Norway maple, and there are varieties of each of these types. So, you got to do your homework. You got to get educated as to, you've got the access to the internet, look the stuff up. You know, just look under maples and they'll start flashing stuff at you, and you can see them. In what they look like in the spring, summer, and fall. I mean, they'll have photos, they'll have descriptions, they'll have how big are they going to get, you know, what they need, blah, 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 blah. So you'll at least, before you go shopping, you'll have some sort of, okay, my yard is this big, so I think I'll go to Wintergreen Nursery and select some trees. Well, as long as you know how large your yard is, then you can get the right tree for that particular place. You just don't want to get something that's going to be so big that maybe you won't ever see the end result, but somebody who buys your house later on 20 years down the road, you know, who put that tree in my yard? You know, Kyle's got a big maple in the back of his yard.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. It's huge. It must be 75 feet tall.
Wow.
And it's probably, it gives him a lot of shade. It's a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
Been there a long time. But if it ever fell down on his house, it would be a disaster to break his house in half because it's huge.
Is that close?
And he had, it's probably 35 feet away. But the tree is 75 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, you get the drift. The end of it will land in Maple Street out in front of his house, you know. You know, it's a small lot. So whoever planted that, it was a cute tree, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And said, oh, look at this nice tree. We'll put it over here by the fence and blah, 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 blah. Well, if it falls the other way, it's going to smash the house on the other street. So, you know.
It doesn't discriminate.
No, it doesn't discriminate. So when you get a tree like that, you're going to have a tree surgeon every 4 or 5 years just to cut back the sucker limbs, just to cut back the limbs that are weak and immature and not really solid, and shorten it up. And when you shorten it up, it gets bushier and shadier. So, you know, you're winning on both ends, but it's the expense of having a tree surgeon in there to do it. So that's the kinds of things you have to consider.
What do you think the age of his maple is?
Oh, gosh. 60? 70, 80, maybe not 80, but 60, good 60 years, I'm sure.
It was in the 50s.
Yeah. And that's about the era of that neighborhood, I think. They were probably built along, he'd probably know, but that's the era. I think they were developing that area. You know, might
Sounds
have been the late 50s, 60s,
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, early 70s, who knows. But all those varieties of those maples I talked about, like, for instance, the red maples include, like, red sunset maple, autumn fantasy maple, October glory maple, autumn blaze maple, and then there's 40 others that are red maples. And so there's a lot of varieties. Now, some of them may not work in our area, but for the most part, they will, because as I was doing my research, I'm consulting with the the Western Garden encyclopedia there, and it says this and this and that and the next thing, and it shows color photos and all that kind of stuff, but like some of my favorites though, the reds are a smaller growing variety than the big leaf maple that I was just describing, and they only get to maybe 30-40 feet on average. Some might get a little larger, but they, you know, say 30 to 40 feet, which makes this makes it okay for the average size yard, because it's not going to overwhelm your yard and it's not going to come crashing through your roof and those kinds of things. And these guys are usually very fast growers. They're easy to take care of. And the big attraction for these things for all those red maples is their fall color. I mean, not only you get the shade, a nice looking tree, but in the fall they have all these brilliant red colors, red, orange, burgundy, the, you know, the a whole host of colors.
It kind of brightens up a fall day.
Oh, exactly. And some of them hold their leaves longer than others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like I say, the colors will range from like an orange red to a deep burgundy, or just a, you know, just a nice bright red. Depends on the variety you get. And like I say, there are 40 varieties of them.
Yeah.
You know, I can't carry
one
40.
One to accommodate anyone.
Yeah, exactly. But
speaking of being accommodating, can we take a break?
A break? Okay, if you insist. You're
Ow, that hurt.
Yeah, it did.
More maple talk. Coming up on Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And we're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN. We were talking about maples.
Yeah, we're talking about shade trees and different types of maples, and I'm going to get into oaks and some other things here a little bit later. But the maples, I brought those up simply because they're some of the easiest to grow. They're pretty, they have good fall color, and most folks, when they come in to buy a shade tree, they always ask, well, what color are the leaves in the fall? And if you say, oh, they're kind of yellow, you go, oh, you got anything in red or orange? Yeah, we got this type or we got that type. So all those factors weigh in on the purchase of your tree. And like I said, the reds, for the most part, the colors range from like orange-red to deep burgundy or just flashy red. And there's a lot of shades in between. And but whatever shade they are during the summer, they provide great shade from the summer sun. That's what you need to be aware of. There's one, it's called Autumn Fantasy. It's a very, very fast-growing red maple, and the leaves are brilliant, brilliant bright red with a tinge of orange in it, and a deep red. Not a, I guess bright would not be a good description of them. They're more like a deep red, and they grow very fast. They're a cross between a red sunset maple and a silver maple. The red sunset, of course, the genes from the color of the red sunset are coupled together with the fast growing traits of the silver maple, which I'll discuss in a minute. And so you've got, like, if you want to look at it this way, the best of both worlds in one tree. You've got super fast growth, a nice looking tree, and beautiful fall color, plus a whole lot of shade during the... I planted one on the edge of our event garden. We got an event garden where, oh, the Chamber of Commerce or the Boy Scouts or some community group will come in and rent the space and have a little get-together, a meeting, a picnic, or whatever. And on the west end of it, where the sun shined the hardest, I planted one of these Autumn Fantasies just to test what I'd been reading about, because I'd never seen a very large one because they were fairly new hybrid maple on the market at the time. Well, it's been in, I think, I'm going to guess 20 years it's been in. And it's probably 60 feet tall, and probably from the outside limb to outside limb, maybe 45 feet or 50 feet across. It provides shade almost for half the garden when the sun is in the right location.
Nice.
Oh, it is very nice. And I'm looking at it here in the last couple of years and thinking, my goodness, that tree's getting big. I wonder how much larger. You know, it's next to my parking lot, but we planted it probably 30 feet in from the road, Dillard Gardens Road, mm-hmm. where the power lines are, because I didn't want to mess with that.
Right.
But I'm looking at the limbs that are stretching in that direction, and already they're within striking distance of the power lines, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't want PPNL to come whizzing through here and butchering my tree. I'm gonna have to do some trimming here fairly quickly, either this winter or the next. Mm-hmm. But they're within, like, say, 10 feet at the power lines. Jeez. And like I said, I had the tree, 30 feet in on
you
my
would
property.
Think that's far.
Yeah, you think, well, that's enough, you know. But this puppy is a grower. This thing grows, and it is a beautiful, beautiful tree. But you better have a large yard. You can't have the, quote, average size neighborhood kind of yard, because in a short time, short meaning 20 years, you're going, my gosh, that tree is big. What do I do with it? Who do I call to prune it? And that kind of thing, which you'll have to do to contain the growth.
Yeah.
So, and the last maple I'm going to introduce today is the silver maple. And like I said, Autumn Fantasy comes from the genes of the silver maple and the genes of a red sunset maple. But the silver maple is just a green one, right? And this is the fastest grower, and needs a lot of space. And it can grow up to 100 feet tall. And with an equal spread, in other words, from the tips of the branches on the left side to the tips of branches on the right side, there's 100 feet across. That's how big of a tree this is. So you don't want to put this in a town yard.
That's a big one.
Do not. If you got a farm, you got a ranch, you got 3 acres, whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect tree. You won't have to mess with it. It won't fall on your house because you got it out far enough away from the house. But it's going to provide a lot of shade at the same time.
Cows can rub up against
it. Oh, yeah. They can't even knock it over. But this is the fastest grower. Like I said, very, very, very fast. And one tree can shade your whole yard, trust me. And the colder the winter is, the more colorful the leaves turn. Hmm. And this is not noted for its colorful fall pattern. But if you get a cold snap in about mid-October and the temperature drops to 29 or something like that, it will be a little bit more, have a little bit more color than normal. Normally, you know, they kind of get it yellowish and they're a nondescript tree in that sense. But they're the shadiest thing you ever saw in your life.
Nice.
You could build tree forts all through that thing and never even see each other. You know,
still don't know who your neighbor is.
Yeah. So remember, this one is not for the small yard in a neighborhood. Again, it's a ranch tree. It's a farm tree. It's a tree you got to have at least an acre to set that puppy on. But, you know, that's just a tiny, tiny sample of different types of maples and shade trees. You know, just gives you, you know, stir the pot on your brain there and say, you know, maybe I should look into this. We need some shade. So if you call us, we can help you. If you come by, we can show you. And, you know, look around. See, look at other yards. I do that all the time when I'm driving around. I'm going, oh, look at that tree. Look what happened there. Or why did they plant that so close to the stinking house? Don't they know that thing's going to fall someday? Or some branch might break. Snowmageddon kind of thing. So it's important to do your homework. You got to research. You got to talk to somebody who knows trees. I know trees. Not every one of them, but I know a whole bunch of them. And or an arborist, you know, one of the tree surgeon companies around here, tree guys that trim this stuff all the time. And they can tell you, oh, yeah, don't get this or don't plant this here or don't do this or don't do that. I have a client that I'm working with right now. She had a mulberry tree. She bought the house with the mulberry tree already in the yard. And the mulberry tree is a very fast grower, and it pushes out. It doesn't get real tall, maybe 30 feet on average, but it'll spread 35 or 40 feet in a lot of different directions. Well, whoever planted this mulberry tree in her front yard before she was there, it was about 15 feet from the house, maybe. Well, half the tree hung over half her house, and so she had it taken out. Yeah. And the other thing, and I recommended a tree company with a stump grinder, because the stump was probably, 24 or 28 inches in diameter.
Jeez.
Pretty big stump. Yeah. And it wasn't an old tree. I mean, maybe 30 years old, maybe. And but the other bad thing was, and I pointed this out to the tree surgeon when he was grinding the stump, mm-hmm. were the surface roots were spread all over her front yard. And these surface roots, there was a lawn there. So, of course, somebody's watering the lawn.
Yeah.
And so, consequently, the roots, as I've said in the past 1,000 times, the roots won't go down. They stay on the surface where the living is easy, because there's the water, there's the food.
Yeah.
So this root system, and gosh, she must have had a dozen surface roots. I mean, some of them go down, but some of these anchor roots, they stay right up on, right up on top.
Yeah.
And they were 6 inches in diameter, for crying out loud. And Jeez. And the top of them was right there. So you can't put a new yard in. You can't put a new landscaping in until you eliminate all that stuff. Mm. So I made sure that the tree surgeons were aware of it, and they would grind all that stuff out before I ever got there. So hopefully, I haven't been back to check on it. That was about a week ago when I was there. But, it's a mulberry tree is a birdie tree. But you got to have, again, the room to put it. And don't put it in a lawn, for crying out loud, because you're going to have nothing but problems. And keep it away from the house. Have it 70 feet from the house if you can. You'll still get shade. It'll still be pretty, but it won't wreck your house. It won't wreck your roof. It won't tear up your sprinkler system or your septic system or any of that stuff. So there are certain trees you want to stay away from for a small yard. And, again, there are certain trees you can go with if you got, say, half an acre yard or an acre yard. I mean, then you've got some room for these faster-growing, larger-growing shade trees, and that'll work for you. So, anyway.
We take a break?
We'll take a break.
Looks like a good spot.
Get into the oaks.
Okay. Talking oaks next.
Oaks. Lots of oaks.
Black oak, Arkansas.
Yes. White oak, black oak, blue oak.
Just in time for the holiday.
Yes.
More with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN. And we have this update that all lanes of U.S. Highway 101 are now open. That's between Lakeside and Winchester Bay due to earlier a vehicle crash. The highway had been closed near Clear Lake for about 4 hours, like I said, due to a car crash, the vehicle fire, and police investigation. So, again, expect a little congestion and delays till the traffic clears out there on U.S. Highway 101.
Yeah, I was listening this morning when, probably around 11 o'clock, when I think Kyle reported that and said traffic was backed up in both directions and there's no access, there's no alternative route. And I know the stretch he's talking about, and there ain't no way to get out of there.
Wow.
it's like, whoa.
We got to do this prim and proper. Hold on.
Uh-oh. I guess this I was on the news
KQEN
with
KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, now we're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show following that little news update.
Yeah, you can ignore our conversation. We didn't know what we were doing, but that's okay. Anyway, I've been talking about shade trees. You know, it's getting to be summer. You know, it's actually the sun is shining. And if you don't have a shade tree, that might be something you want in your front or backyard. And I'm just trying to help you avoid calamity in the future by not overplanting, of course, but not getting a tree that's going to outgrow your yard and maybe overshadow your roof and your neighbor's roof, because it's amazing how much I see of that around town. And not all of them are store-bought trees that somebody planted. You know, there's a lot of native oaks and maples that we have here in Douglas County that were there for 70 years before the house was built. And whoever built the house says, hey, it's a nice shade tree. Well, maybe that was 30 years ago, and that nice shade tree is now a nicer, bigger shade tree, and has grown well in all those years. Subsequently, it's maybe nearer your roof and or your patio or whatever. And what was it, last year or the year before when we had Snowmageddon? After that event, for the next 5 weeks, my crews and I all we did was clean broken trees and broken branches on roofs, patios, driveways, lawns, etc. that happened to. So in the future, should we have another event like the Snowmageddon thing, and you've got some trees that are close to your house, it could do some real damage. And this is just kind of, I'm not talking about this to put the fear of God in you. I'm talking about the practicality of the type of tree and the distance from the house, etc., that you should consider before you plant trees. And you know, it's amazing how when I'm driving around through Roseburg, for the most part, and even Sutherland and Winston, it's amazing when I see a newer house, say, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, and there might be, you know, 2 or 3 trees in the front yard, and the first thing I look for is how close to the actual structure did they plant these trees. And sometimes if it's in the front yard, they plant in the middle of the front yard, which it seems logical because the tree is 8 feet tall or 10 feet tall and it's small, but it's also too close to the house. And you need to consider the spacing and how large is that tree going to get. And it may not interfere in your life, but maybe your children's lives or your grandchildren's lives. And so, again, do your homework. Find out how large these trees get. Talk to people who grow trees, like nursery guys like me, and landscapers and tree surgeons. And you don't want to be responsible for some kind of a calamity that happens 10, 15 years down the road or longer. So I just hit a bit of the tip of the iceberg with the maple trees and things like that. There are so many varieties to choose from, and there's so many sizes, shapes, colors, etc. It would sometimes you have a hard time deciding what to get. So the next version is oaks. Oaks, of course, are great shade. The only drawback is that they're very slow growing. And they live for hundreds of years, and some have beautiful fall colors, and some are just plain and dull. That's the way they made them. We have 2 native varieties here in Southwest Oregon, and you know, other places in Oregon too. And they grow wild wherever there's a blank spot on Earth. You know, you can find an oak tree out in the country, out in the middle of a pasture or something. But the Oregon white oak seems to pop up in pastures, clear cuts, grazing areas, everywhere. I mean, it just it grows. Nothing can stop this puppy. And sometimes it even pops up in our yards unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And it can get quite large. It has a huge canopy, with a lot of shade, and that's good. But they can grow up to at least 100 feet or more.
Mm-hmm.
And the wood is hard, and it's sought after for like firewood on the and on the East Coast they use it for lumber. If not pruned, they grow very wide and unruly with branches that are stretching out, you know, 50, 60 feet. I know because I got one out in my front field, and nothing seems to hurt them. They're strong.
Yeah.
You don't find many nurseries to sell them is the problem.
The mighty oak.
The mighty Oregon white oak. And I had a client years ago. That's what they wanted. They moved up from, I don't know, maybe California or somewhere, and they wanted an Oregon white oak. And I had to get in my my catalog of nurseries and go through all these guys, and I called, a half a dozen, and one of them finally says, hey, there's one nursery in, you know, west of Salem, and he grows native stock, and this is phone number, so call them. And they actually grew white oaks. I couldn't believe it. So I went up and picked this puppy up and brought it back and planted it for the guy, and he was happy. So I wouldn't. I wouldn't. It's like let's plant some weeds, okay? I mean, that's how prolific they are. Look at our hillsides. They're filled with white oak. And some of them really turn into, you know, something nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then the other native oak we have here is the California black oak. It's naturally growing. Of the two, I prefer the black oak over the white oak simply because it's more of an attractive tree. It doesn't get so gangly. It's a little bit more compact. Not by much, but it still gets very large. And, you know, like oaks don't seem to need any care or water. They just grow. So I've got some black oak on my property. I've got white oak on my property. And they're both pretty and they're both different. To tell the difference, if you're walking around out there between the white and black oaks, is that the bark, look at the bark and look at the leaves. The bark is darker and the leaves are more pointed on the black oak, while the white oak is kind of a grayish color, and the leaves are rounded. And if you didn't look at them closely, most folks can't tell the difference. But when you start to see the specifics of each tree, you know which one is which. But both of these guys can be seen throughout our county and most of Oregon, actually. And again, this is a hard tree to find in any nursery, either one of them. So don't go nursery or oak shopping in nurseries. It's just you won't do it. Now, if you want to have an oak, however, with fall color, because neither the white or black oak has fall color to speak of, you have to look for like the pin oak, the northern red oak, or the scarlet oak. And there's a whole bunch of others, but those are the three that we've carried at our nursery over the years. Like the pin oak is sold in nurseries, and it's conical in shape and grows to about 100 feet tall, but it doesn't spread out like the white or black oaks. It grows wild from Vermont to Oklahoma, and it does very well in the Pacific Northwest. But it does make shade, but it's not, like I say, a wide-spreading tree. It's more columnar. It makes a great yard tree in that respect. Again, not for a small yard, but for a fairly large yard. And the fall color is deep red. And the leaves, I mean, they're scarlet red. And then as time goes by, the leaves turn to brown. And then the leaves hang on the tree through the winter until spring. And when the new growth in the spring starts to, when it comes alive and starts to push, that's when last year's old leaves fall off. Mm. So it's kind of sweet gums are the same way. And I'll talk about sweet gums next week. But, if you weren't familiar with a pin oak, you'd think it had died because of all the brown leaves all over them. But, you know, I like them because they will grow faster than our natural native oaks here. The other is the northern red oak is similar, but is more attractive, I think, than the pin oak because it spreads out a little bit more. It has a spreading canopy. And again, it's going to provide great shade. The pin oak is not a straight up and down kind of like a poplar or anything, but it's more pyramidal, like I said, in shape, where the red oak is more rounded like our native oaks, but not as rounded as our native oaks. And it's very pretty. The leaves are spectacular in the fall, and the leaves hang on the tree, oh, at least till about December before they finally, you know, the rain wears them down or something, they finally fall off. I have one in my yard just for the fall color, and I've got it, oh gosh, 100 feet from the house, and so it's got plenty of room to grow, and it's up on a bank on the edge of the timber, actually, and it gets about two-thirds of a day of sunlight, and the rest of the time it's in shade. But over the years, it's proven to be a very colorful, easy to take care of. Easy.
Easy.
All oaks are easy. You water them the first year, and then you forget them. Just go climb them.
Have fun with them.
Yeah. And the third oak. Oh, yep. No, I got a couple more, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
You want to hold on to that for after the break?
If I have to.
All right. We'll finish up with the oaks in just a couple of minutes. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and we're talking oaks with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, I'm going to continue real quick here in the oaks and we'll wrap it up. Scarlet oak is the next one, and it's native to America, but in Northeast America, excuse me, you know, like New England states, that's where it naturally occurs. Mm-hmm. But it does well in our area, too. I mean, we've got them, we sell them and all that. It needs full sun to grow best, of course. And the fall color is scarlet. That's what's the high point of that particular tree. It's the scarlet leaves, and the leaves last, again, through the winter until spring.
Nice.
So a lot of these trees, you know, you go, whoa, hey, I still got leaves on my tree and it's Christmas Day. How come? but scarlet oak has a rounded shape, and it doesn't grow as tall as the other ones I've been speaking about. But it can, in time, get to 80 feet. 80-foot tree is
that's
a tall tree, baby.
Good size.
Yeah, it is. And it just takes 100 years to get there, you know? So, but like all oaks, they are indestructible unless it meets a chainsaw or a truck or something like that. Yeah. And like any of these oaks that I've been talking about, it will make beautiful furniture. It's on the East Coast and in the South, that's what they do with a lot of these oaks that I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And why in the world, and I've talked to a few guys around here, why in the world don't they take what we have here, the black oaks and the white oaks, the bigger ones that are, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet in diameter, and why isn't there a furniture factory in Douglas County, for crying out loud? We've got all this oak here. We've got maple. We've got alder. We've got birch. We've got a lot of good hardwoods that make, you know, you go down to West Harvard Furniture and, you know, oh, this is a oak this and an alder that and a, you know. I never could figure that one out. I've asked guys for years, why isn't there a furniture factory? But you know what happens? An East Coast firm will come here and buy oak and stuff, Madrone even, from us, ship it to the East Coast, manufacture furniture, and ship it back to the West Coast.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. But, you know, I'm not in the business, so I don't know. But
Madrone makes good firewood.
Oh, gosh, it's beautiful. You ever seen a Madrone floor?
No, yeah. I don't think
oh,
I have.
Gorgeous. Absolutely outrageously gorgeous. Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
It would be. It's reddish.
Yes, it's got reds and knots and twirls and twists. It's. I saw one guy build a house and put a madrone floor in there. Man, it was gorgeous.
Wow. Nice.
Why doesn't somebody get into that business? I think it's expensive, but what the heck?
It lasts forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorite oaks is the live oak. Now, we have canyon live oak around here that grows in very rocky, ugly spots like out in Upper Olalla, about 15 miles from my house. But and you can't transplant them, by the way. But live oak, regular live oak, they grow naturally in southeast, in the southeast all the way into Texas. And one of my daughters lives southwest of Austin, about 25 miles, in the Texas Hill Country. Mm. You know, rolling hills, really beautiful. And live oak covers the hills, and they are evergreens. They have a small leaf, probably 2 to 3 inches long and about an inch wide, and they're deep, shiny green, real pretty.
Wow.
And they're not a tall tree. They're kind of a spreading tree, and they're really gnarly looking. You know, the branches, they just go up, and they look like a storybook tree or something you see in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like and if you stand back far enough, they would... You see, well, that would make a great bonsai, except it's 30 feet tall and 40 feet wide. But if you could get one in a bonsai pot, you know, a small one, it would be beautiful. But they're like... like we got our oaks and our madrones and stuff. That's how they are in her area of Texas. There's two major trees there, the live oak and the Texas red cedar. And everybody gets allergic to the Texas red cedar because of the pollen. And the wind blows a lot down there. So the pollen is like a cloud going across the horizon. And there's a lot of allergies toward that. But the live oaks are mixed in with it. And when somebody develops a lot down in her area, the first thing they do is take all the Texas red cedar out and leave the live oak.
Live oak.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful tree and it fits well. And... they give some shade. They're not like a, you know, one of our maples who gives a lot of shade, but it gives some shade, and they're very, very picturesque. They're just a gnarly looking old tree, and they live a long, long time
with very little care.
With no care, baby, and this the research I did, they say they grow about 50 feet tall. When I was in Texas, I've been there a few times, and I've never seen one 50 feet tall. You know, maybe 40, maybe 35 or 40, but the spread on them is what's neat about it. And the branches, you know, they're big, massive branches, and they kind of twirl and twist, and they just look gnarly. You know, if you can picture that. I don't know if I'm describing it right.
You know, like,
but I don't know that they would grow here. They might, and maybe it's too wet for them. That would be the only thing.
Yeah.
But like I said, we have what we call canyon live oak, and it grows, like I said, about 15 miles away from my house up in Upper Olalla. It starts gaining an elevation, and these rock cliffs are on one side of the road. And years ago, I asked somebody, what are those? Oh, that's canyon live oak. And I thought, huh. And they're first cousin and to these that I was just talking about in Texas. But they don't go quite as big. They're more of a shrub-looking thing.
Yeah.
But if you pruned them up, you'd have a nice-looking tree. So I went up there years ago, and I tried to transplant a couple of them. They died almost immediately.
Oh, jeez.
I couldn't get enough root because I guess the root goes way down.
So
next time I went up, they're growing on rock. And there was this flat piece of rock, and there was a tree growing right out of the rock. So I took the whole rock and took it home, but it died as well. And I don't know why I couldn't figure that out. And it was just a beautiful little tree. And one of these days I'll try it again. But in the meantime, shade trees, like I say, they cool your place down and they add value. You know, one of these days you say, well, Martha, it's time to sell. And if you've got these big, beautiful shade trees, that buyer pulls up and that, you know, curb appeal is a real thing.
Right.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I've sold a few houses, and curb appeal means a great deal, and trees really add to curb appeal.
Absolutely.
How's that for timing?
Perfect.
Woohoo! Goodbye. See you next week.
You're getting good at this.
I know. I ought to have your job, huh? No way.
Oh.
No way. I'm not ready.
Where are you located at, Winston?
A half mile south of Winston, across the South Umpqua River. Oh, 8580 Old Highway 99 South. Can't miss us. We got all our roofs are green.
There you go.
Yeah.
See you next week, Mike.
Thank you.